From national news in D.C.
to behind-the-scenes coverage of the Nebraska Capitol,
this is your Capitol Connection.
And now, bringing the Capitol to you,
here's your host, Nate Graz.
And welcome to Capitol Connection. We are broadcasting today from the Nebraska Family Alliance Studio in Lincoln, connecting you to the Capitol and talking about the biggest news in government and culture, all from a biblical perspective. And on today's show, we're talking about a shocking and horrifying admission from Nebraska's own notorious late-term abortionist Leroy Carhart that everyone should be talking about. Plus, how the president is staying true to his promise to defund Planned Parenthood, the continued push for pro-life legislation at the federal level, and how the presidential administration is working to protect religious freedom. This past week, a new interview clip came out featuring abortionist Leroy Carhart, who runs an abortion clinic here in Nebraska in Bellevue and also flies to other states to perform later-term abortions as well. And he sat down for an interview with an on-camera interview with BBC News as they are covering this issue, the abortion war, as they call it, in America. And his remarks, although not surprising from him, are shocking, appalling, and is something that we all should be talking about. Of course, most news outlets aren't going to cover this, but his admission here in this clip that I'm about to play is incredibly revealing. And it completely validates what pro-lifers have been saying for decades, but this admission is coming from a man who's actually doing, performing the abortions. And it completely shatters the narrative that Planned Parenthood and pro-choice politicians and legislators want people to believe. It completely undermines everything they say about abortion. Listen to this exchange between British reporter Hillary Anderson for the BBC with Leroy Carhart.
What counts as a medical need, in your view? I mean, if the woman is really stressed about her pregnancy, how to qualify her?
It has to get more to the point of depression, not just stress. And it fit within my confidence of what we could do safely, I would do that.
Right up until when? Like 38 weeks, 39 weeks?
I don't know.
That you're not comfortable saying?
I'm not going to say that. Yeah. To the fetus, it makes no difference whether it's born or not born. The baby has no input in this as far as I'm concerned.
But it's interesting that you use the word baby, because a lot of abortionists won't use that. They'll use the word fetus because they don't want to acknowledge that there's a life.
I think that it is a baby, and I use it with the patients.
And you don't have a problem with
Absolutely not. A
baby?
I have no problem if it's in the mother's uterus.
And that is straight from Leroy Carhart, who has performed thousands of late-term abortions. And it's shocking and horrifying, but at least here he is being honest. And this clip and the transcript of this interview needs to be replayed and repeated over and over, because he's not hiding behind euphemisms. You know, so often when this topic comes up, it becomes all about reproductive health care or a war on women or choice. But there's no hiding this anymore. When you have someone like him, an abortionist, who flat out says that it is a baby, I believe it's a baby, and it makes no difference because the baby has no input in the decision, and that it is killing a baby, and that they have no problem doing that. I mean, this is really an incredible admission when you consider the great lengths that the pro-choice side has gone to mask abortion in euphemisms, for him to just flat out admit this, to say that, quote, the baby has no input in this, as far as I'm concerned. And the reporter says it's interesting that you use the word baby because of a lot of abortionists wouldn't use that. They'll use the term fetus because they don't want to acknowledge that there is a life. And that is absolutely true. They try so hard not to use the term baby or to use the word mother. And I'm glad that the reporter called that out and pressed him on it. And his response to that is, I think that it is a baby. And I tell that to the patients. And she says, and you don't have a problem with killing a baby. And his response is absolutely not. And after a long pause, and if you see the video, and you can see it on our Facebook page at Nebraska Family Alliance, just the shock and unsettled look on this reporter's face during this exchange. And after the long pause, when he says he has no problem with killing the baby, and he ends with, I have no problem if it's in the mother's uterus. And this is just a frank admission of what abortion is, but it's so shocking because very rarely, perhaps never, we see this type of frank admission on international television. And it's so difficult to try to rationalize or understand how someone can continue to do this and rationalize this in their mind when they admit that they know what it is. It's also hard to understand how so many activists can try to deny this when here you have Leroy Carhart himself freely admitting that abortion is killing a baby. Those are his words. It is a baby, and I have no problem killing it through abortion. And I really hope that this gets used. I mean, this should be played or read in every presidential debate. They should play that clip or read that it recently in an interview with BBC News, late-term abortionist Leroy Carhart admitted that he believes that the fetus is a baby and that he has no problem killing it if it is in the mother's uterus. What about you, candidate A, candidate B? Do you have a problem with it? And of course, they'll never do that, but they should. They should, and we as voters should demand to know where our elected officials stand on this issue and what they think about it and what they think about what Leroy Carhart had to say and what their position is. And they can't hide behind euphemisms anymore because we know too much. We've known for a long time, and now we have a very frank admission from a notorious late-term abortionist himself, completely vindicating and validating what pro-lifers have been saying all along. And as Christians, we need to continue pushing on this issue. We need to continue to speak truth and love and compassion because this isn't just about winning policy debates. This is about changing hearts and minds and empowering people with the truth because reason, logic, science, love, and compassion are all on our side. And when people are presented with the truth, like right here in that clip, abortion loses every single time. That's what we need to be talking about. And that's what we will be talking about this upcoming Tuesday, August 27th, when Nebraska Family Alliance will host Abby Johnson, the real-life story behind the groundbreaking film Unplanned. She will be in Omaha for a special event. And it's going to be a celebration of life. And what an incredible opportunity to get to hear from Abby Johnson, who is a former Planned Parenthood Clinic director and a former Planned Parenthood Employee of the Year who left the abortion industry and now advocates for life. You've heard what Leroy Carhart has said about abortion, and this will be an opportunity to hear what someone else with experience inside of an abortion clinic thinks about this issue. And we have completely sold out this event. There's going to be over 700 people in attendance, but we have now opened up special speaker-only tickets that are available on our website, NebraskaFamilyAlliance.org. So if you would still like to attend and not be able to attend the dinner portion, but would still like to hear Abby speak, there are still seats available for that. And again, you can find them and all of the event information at our website, NebraskaFamilyAlliance.org. It's going to be a really great evening. It'll be all about advancing the culture of life. And there's a lot of good news still going on to celebrate. This is an ongoing battle, an ongoing fight, and so much work still to be done. But there is tremendous progress being made. And we got some more of that this past week in huge news. Planned Parenthood revealed that they would continue to put abortion first and above health care, and that they are withdrawing from the federal Title X program, meaning that they would rather continue to promote abortion first and not comply with new rules that will cost them tens of millions of dollars of taxpayer money, revealing that, number one, they really are all about abortion, and number two, they don't need taxpayer funding. And this is all because of a new pro-life rule enacted by the Trump administration. Planned Parenthood announced on Monday that it will no longer accept Title X family planning funding because they do not want to comply with this new rule. And all this new rule says is that if you want to if you want to be a Title X clinic, if you want to receive these taxpayer funds, which Title X, these taxpayer funds are not supposed to go to abortion. So if you want these funds, you need to separate your abortion-related activity from your Title X activity. And this is to prevent taxpayer dollars from funding organizations that provide or refer women for abortion. And Planned Parenthood could have continued receiving about $60 million per year from Title X if they would have agreed to conduct abortions in separate locations from where it offered other Title X services. So this wasn't even forcing or requiring them to stop doing abortions. All it's asking for is separation and transparency between Title X services and abortion services. And unsurprisingly, Planned Parenthood picked abortion. They have refused to comply, and Alexis McGill Johnson, Planned Parenthood's acting president, warned that her organization's withdrawal would negatively affect low-income patients' ability to access women's health services. But on the contrary, Planned Parenthood's withdrawal for Title X will not mean less money for women's health care, not a penny. The funds will merely be directed to other clinics and providers who do not perform abortion or at least comply with the new rule and have separated their Title X services from abortion-related activity. The pro-life group Susan B. Anthony List released a statement to this news saying, quote, "Planned Parenthood and the abortion industry have treated Title X as their own slush fund with little return for taxpayers or the populations they are supposed to serve. This will be a great victory delivered by President Trump for the majority of Americans who reject taxpayer funding of abortion." And this was a big campaign promise of the president to take taxpayer dollars away from abortion providers, to do away with the taxpayer funding of abortion. And this doesn't take care of all of it. There are still other taxpayer funds, a lot of them, still in the tens of millions, hundreds of millions, being directed to abortion providers. But this is a big hit to Planned Parenthood, who has continued for years to exploit that loophole in the Title X program that allowed them to receive these tens of millions of taxpayer dollars every year, despite them being the number one abortion provider in the country. And the Department of Health and Human Services was quick to point out that Planned Parenthood could have made the decision to disentangle its abortion services from other health services and continued to receive funding. To the extent that they claim that it makes it burdensome, these changes are too burdensome to comply with. What they're actually choosing is to place a higher priority on the ability to refer for abortion instead of continuing to receive federal funds to provide a broad range of services to clients who are in need of those services. And data has already shown a severe and steady decline in most of Planned Parenthood's other services outside of abortion. So all that this does is just further reveal their entrenched commitment to abortion. And we know that from data released by Planned Parenthood in their last annual report, during the last year, it issued a mere 2,871 adoption referrals, down from nearly 4,000 in the previous year. So for all of the hundreds of thousands of abortions they commit nationwide for the entire year, less than 3,000 adoption referrals. That's just one adoption referral for every 117 abortions. And that doesn't sound like very much choice to me. Meanwhile, the push for pro-life legislation is continuing at the federal level. Despite a divided Congress, pro-life legislators have introduced a new bill in both the House and the Senate, which is aimed at protecting life, holding the abortion industry accountable, and protecting babies born alive and failed abortions. Planned Parenthood and other abortion businesses are not required by federal law to report how many abortions they perform each year. All of the data gathered by the Center for Disease Control and Prevention is voluntarily given by abortion clinics, with California, Maryland, and New Hampshire usually abstaining from providing any information at all. And to put those states into context, that's about approximately 20% of the abortions committed in the United States each year. And there are some who want to change that, and a bill in the House has been introduced to do just that. This legislation is known as the Ensuring Accurate and Complete Abortion Data Reporting Act, and this is a bill that would simply require states to annually report abortion totals to the CDC in order to receive Medicaid family planning funds. If this legislation passes, it would be a critical blow to the abortion industry. The ability to hide behind the lack of regulations and reporting has given them enormous leverage in its public image and public perception. And so we know that they will fight this all the way, which is, again, this is just revealing their true nature and what's really going on, because all this is asking for is the truth. And in the Senate, another pro-life bill is making the rounds. Introduced by pro-life senators, the Patients First Act would promote research into stem cells without the creation, use, destruction, or discarding of human embryos. This would reverse a policy implemented under President Obama that allowed for federal funding for this type of research. And if passed, this would be another great victory for the pro-life movement. And of course, in addition to these two new bills, there is still another piece of legislation that we've talked about previously languishing in the House of Representatives, the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act, which simply requires medical care to be provided to newborn babies who survive an abortion and are born alive. And this bill has been up for a unanimous vote 80 times, and they have been unable to get to the resolution of the floor because it is blocked every time by Democratic leadership who are refusing to hear or allow a vote on that legislation. U.S. Senator Ben Sasse sponsored and introduced this legislation in the Senate, where thankfully it was at least heard and actually given a vote, but unfortunately did not have enough votes to overcome the filibuster to break the 60-vote threshold and pass. And in the House, so far has not even been able to come up for a vote. And this is just another example of why people are so frustrated with Congress and get so turned off by politics that and that's what this is about. This is about politics. Why a bill that simply says any child who survives an abortion and is born alive, they get immediate medical care to the same standard that any other newborn would get, and instead of simply being left to die. And the fact that that bill can't even get a vote, it's incredibly frustrating and infuriating, really. And you know, those who are opposing this legislation and refusing it to move forward and preventing it from being voted on, They say all sorts of things that have nothing to do with the actual legislation, and they refuse to admit that this policy is needed because they say this never happens. This is just another attack on women and trying to undermine abortion rights, even though the bill literally has nothing to do with restricting abortion anyway. It's about medical care for newborns who survive abortions. And in fact, tragically, this does happen, and we know it happens. State departments of health in just three states reported that 40 babies have been born alive during botched abortions since 2016, 40 times. And the CDC has released numbers that showed 143 infants born alive after induced terminations that died over the course of the last 14 years. But the CDC admits that the number is likely low given the lack of reporting requirements. And of course, the people who are supposed to be reporting this are the ones doing it. So it's already going to be low and underreported, but they aren't even required to do so. So the fact that there's at least at a minimum 143 documented cases over the last 14 years, which we know is a great underestimate, and that there's been 40 of these cases just in three states over the last 3 years, would seem to indicate that, yes, we do in fact need this legislation. Because as we heard from abortionist Leroy Carhart at the beginning of the show, they simply don't care because the baby doesn't get a say in it and they have no problem doing it. And as citizens, we need to know how many abortions are being performed, how many of these cases are happening, and we need to protect babies born alive after a failed abortion attempt and encourage physicians to actually use ethical alternatives to stem cell research that destroys the life of an individual human being. Life is so precious, and our government should make every effort to protect it. Because the right to liberty and the pursuit of happiness doesn't matter if you first don't have the right to life. So very clearly, the battle between life and abortion remains at the center of policy and legislation. Those are some of the latest developments from Congress, and hopefully more action will be taken soon. And now on the religious freedom front, last week, the Trump administration moved to further expand faith protections for federal contractors in a new proposed rule by the Labor Department that would make clear that religious organizations may make employment decisions consistent with their sincerely held religious tenets and beliefs without fear of sanction by the federal government. And what that means is, hey, you actually get to live out your faith and make decisions that we would expect people to make based on their beliefs without being punished by your own government. This proposed rule would cover both nonprofit and for-profit entities doing business with the federal government. Conservative groups cheered the proposed rulemaking for clarifying that religious employers may participate in federal contract work without being forced to violate their conscience rights. And this is welcome news because in America, we don't undermine religious freedom. We protect religious freedom. Because when religious freedom flourishes, all other freedoms flourish. And no American, regardless of their beliefs, whether they are religious or non-religious, should be punished by their own government because of their sincerely held beliefs, especially in a diverse and pluralistic society like ours. The government shouldn't be in the business of picking sides or choosing winners and losers and punishing those who disagree. Religious organizations should, in fact, be able to act and hire based on their faith. And that's what this proposed rule is about. And this is important because many faith-based organizations provide valuable services to assist the homeless, the hungry, victims of sexual abuse, and so much more. These faith-based services are valuable to our government because they are effective and because by contracting out rather than expanding government bureaucracy, they save taxpayer dollars. Forcing religious organizations to hire people who disagree with the tenets of their faith clearly undermines the service and in many cases force the faith-based organization to withdraw from providing such services, as we have seen happen to faith-based foster care and adoption agencies and shelters across the country. And that shouldn't happen. This proposed rule protects the ability of religious organizations to continue providing their valuable aid to people in need, and that is good news. We'll be back next week with more updates on government, policy, and culture. I'm your host, Nate Graz, Policy Director for the Nebraska Family Alliance, hoping you'll join us again next week. Thanks for listening to your Capital Connection.